folks. It's about 7:30, so let's get started, maybe. Our President Chris is away this week. I'm Bob Harris. And before we dive in, a quick reminder, everybody will be muted during the presentation. If you have any comments or questions, please use the chat window. We'll keep an eye on the questions and comments in there and pass them on to the speaker. After the presentation, we'll open things up so you can unmute yourselves, join the discussion, or keep using the chat. So, welcome everybody. Welcome to all members and guests to the September meeting of the Ottawa PC Users Group. Guests are always welcome at these meetings and the weekly Q&A sessions held under every Wednesday. If you're looking to join the OPCUG, please see a link in the chat or on the website. It costs just $20 a year, and we'd love to have you be a part of our community. Tonight, we're thrilled to have one of our longtime members, Alan German, as our speaker. Alan's been an essential part of the OPCUG for many years. He contributes greatly to his workshops, the weekly Q&A sessions, and so much more, too much to mention here. Some of you folks will remember his weekly, upgrading your existing PC workshop, the free and open source software, and other valuable workshops. Alan also frequently presents at the APUG, which is a cross-platform group with an international reach. In addition to all these presentations, Alan's a prolific writer. He contributes to the newsletter with insightful articles that keep us well informed. His wide-ranging expertise and dedication embody the LPCUG motto of users helping users. Tonight, Alan will be presenting a website with no coding required. He's going to walk us through the process of creating a fully functional website with user-friendly tools. This will appeal to anyone interested maybe in starting a personal blog, a small business page, or even a club website without the hassle of learning coding languages. So this will show us how easy it is to get started. We're in for a great show tonight. I want to see this too. So without further ado, I'll turn it over to Alan. Alan, please take it away.
Okay, thank you very much, Bob, for that nice introduction. And as Bob said, tonight we're going to be looking at how to build websites and without using any coding. So first of all, let's think about why we would want to build a website. And some of the reasons, you might want to just share information with people you know, friends and relatives. You may have information that you want to share with everybody in the world, and that's how websites work, basically. Maybe you've got a specific interest, and maybe you make quilts and you like to show off your latest designs, or you make wooden toys and they have very interesting designs and you like to tell people about those. Or maybe you'd like to sell your quilts or your wooden toys, and so you need a website or a business that will allow you to sell these things online. Some people like blogs to talk about things, favorite recipes, and that kind of thing. Or maybe you've got a daughter or a granddaughter, grandson, who has an organization that's doing a charity event, and you want to help them publicize that by building a website for them. Or maybe you just want to learn some new computer skills, and website design and development is one of those. Or maybe you have another option altogether, which I haven't mentioned. But for our purpose tonight, we're going to develop a website, and the intent is that it's something that we can share digital photographs with other people. So let's just, first of all, let's think about a couple of examples. So here's a website which is essentially a trip report of a birding expedition to India in 2015. And you can see here how we've got a photograph of a peacock, we've got a map of where India is in the world, and then we've got a detailed kind of Google map type thing which maps out the actual itinerary of the actual tour. So this is kind of the first of many pages which sets the scene for our trip. And one of the interesting things was it wasn't just birds that we were looking for. We were looking for mammals, and in particular, India, of course, is famous for its tigers. So we went on this elephant safari, and we're going through really tall grass and very difficult to see things. But suddenly the elephant flushes a deer. And as the deer runs over the embankment, it's closely followed by a tiger. Everything happening way too quickly and lots of long grass.
Excuse me, Ellen. Yes. I thought it was just me, but I don't think you're sharing your screen yet.
Oh.
I was trying to fix mine. I thought it was me. And thank you for the comment.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
All right. Sorry, people. Let's try again here.
Thank you, Dennis. He sort of nailed it. I was trying to fix my view. I thought, geez, I'm an idiot. Okay, I'm gone.
No, no, sorry, that's my fault. what happened there was I was running another presentation on the screen, sharing the screen, but it doesn't let me close it. I have to shut down the whole screen. Then I opened up my second presentation and forgot to share the screen on that one. Okay, so the first slide was just that business about what kind of websites we have. This one is the first page of the trip, so the picture of the peacock and a couple of mats. And then I was talking about this slide where we have the elephant flushing the deer closely followed by the tiger, but no time to take any pictures. But we saw three tigers, and the second one was much more amenable. It kind of just sat there and stared at us, and we were able to take pictures with no difficulty whatsoever. It wasn't terribly hard to take pictures of that tiger. But then we found a real one near the edge of a river. This guy has killed a gar, an Indian bison, which is like a big cow, and he looks pretty happy with himself. He's got a meal there for several days. So this is a website that's got kind of a story narrative, if you like. It's got text, it's got all kinds of graphics, and you follow the bouncing ball as we go through the trip report. This one's a website I did for a colleague of mine, and it's more business-oriented, obviously. But you can see it's got the same kind of features. It's got text and it's got graphics, but it's more organized in terms of it's got columns. You can see that this thing is done in kind of tables where we've got different columns and different rows and different pieces of content in different places. And there's a navigation bar on the left-hand side there, and we could click on one of those links for publications, for example, and we would go to a different web page, and we could read about his latest publication or whatever. So those are the kind of things that you might think about in terms of building websites. Now, those websites were built using HTML, the hypertext markup language. So you have to know a bit about HTML if you want to hard code websites yourself. And it's not terribly difficult. Here's an example, another example of a road safety website. You can see again there are columns, there's text, there's headings, there's images scattered about the page. And underlying that is a whole bunch of code. So this is a purpose-built HTML editor. And you can see on the left there's a directory tree where you can access different files. And then in the main window, you can actually see the HTML code that we can edit to modify the content of the page. So, for example, the heading there in the red bar is a table. And you can see that table has a background color of red. The font color is set to be white. And the font is bold-faced, and it's roadsafetyresearch.ca. And Chris Taylor will be real happy to know that I use the typeface Comic Sans MS because he hates Comic Sans as a font. But you can see it is it's red background, white text, and a comic typeface. And then over on the right side here, we've got a graphic. And so you can see this is an image tag. It says that the source is in an image folder, images folder. And the file name is airbag5.jpg. And then everything else is basically telling it to align this thing to the right of the page, and then different dimensions in terms of pixels for the height and the width, and so on and so forth. So if you're going to build a website that way, you do need to know a bit about HTML. And a number of years ago, I provided this presentation for the club, which talked about the basics, if you like, of HTML. So if you want to know how to use HTML to build web pages, then this could be one of your starting points. But I'm going to suggest that that's actually quite tricky if you don't know HTML. It's a fairly long learning curve to use it. But nowadays, there's a lot of WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get, graphical type editors. And if you use those, you don't need to know anything about HTML. And a good example of a website that uses WYSIWYG is our club website. Our webmaster, Bridget Lord, runs this thing. And essentially, here's the Q&A page. And essentially, this is being run using a content management system. It's running under WordPress. And this is the editor. This is the Q&A page, which changes every week, basically. And you can see here's a display of the page. And on the left-hand side here is the actual editor. And right now you can see that we're in a visual graphical type editing mode. And you might see that in the middle of this paragraph here, I've inserted a new paragraph, and I'm telling everybody that Q&A is cancelled. And you can see that I've edited the text here, and it's showing up in the preview of the web page over here. Now, Q&A isn't cancelled, so we're not going to press this update button down here. And this is just a demonstration, if you like, of how you can change things. But notice, as well as the graphical editor, we've also got the text editor over here. So if we click on the text editor, you can see maybe that now we're looking at HTML code. This Q&A has gone online has a heading 2, an H2 tag, and the Q&A, the ampersand, is using the ampersand AMP semicolon, because in HTML, the actual ampersand character is a special character which defines all kinds of other special characters. If you want a no-break space, then you have to use ampersand NBSP semicolon. So the ampersand is actually the special character right here. So again, you'd have to know that kind of thing or use the HTML editor to enter those kind of codes directly. This is a WYSIWYG thing, remember, so we can change the text. And we can also, here's the main meat of the page, if you like. We usually have an image, and then over here we have some links to the current Q&A PowerPoint, audio file, and the chat window contents. But I could add a new content block underneath this one, and now it's asking me to drag a widget into this block. So let's go over here and grab this image widget and drag him over and drop him into there. So now it wants me to go over here, click on this guy, and find an image. And it goes to a media library. And you notice everything we're doing now is point and shoot. We're just clicking on various areas and picking things up. So let's look through the images. Well, we'll be like this one down here, Chris with his PowerPoint, his power tools. We just click on that. And that inserts the image into that content block. So it's really easy to do. I got somebody there saying something. Okay. And as an example of a blog, WordPress, this is an actual blog. So this is a Linux blog that I use to basically document things that I change in the Linux system, how to do it. and I post it available to anybody so people can search for things that they're interested in, how to modify the grub menu and how to install a custom ROM and an Android smartphone. And they might find one of these posts. If anybody's interested in Qt and deploying a Qt program, then they may hit this link right here. And there are various blogs. Here's how to install Notepad++, the Windows program, into a Linux Mint distro. So things like WordPress are actually very useful for building websites and for blogs. And Bridget and I did this presentation in 2021, where we discussed how to build blogs and how to build websites using WordPress. So those links are there. And I think Bob is going to post those into the chat window, so you'll have access to those if you wish to check those out. Anyway, let's carry on and talk about building websites. And we talked about WYSIWYG, and one of the WYSIWYG things that's really easy and very accessible is Google Sites. Because Google Sites will let you build a website without any coding. It's all point and shoot. And the neat thing about it is all you need is a Google account. They're really, really easy to get. But if you have a Gmail account, which most people I'm sure do, then you also have a Google account. So your Gmail account is a Google account. And all you have to do is log in to Google Sites using your Google login credentials and get started. So let's do that. Let's go to Google Sites, and we're presented with this screen right here. This is Google sites.google.com. And you see here it says, start your first site. Click on the plus sign to create a new site. Well, it wants me to go over here. This is the plus sign. But you notice that if I hit the plus sign, I'm going to get a blank page. So I now have to start adding text boxes and images and all kinds of things. There's a much easier way to do that, and that's to go up here to the template gallery. Because now we have a whole bunch of predefined websites, which we can pick something that kind of makes sense to what we want to do, and then just modify the content of that template, and that will be much easier than building the page from scratch. And there's lots of different templates. So let's suppose that we have a relative who's getting married, and maybe they'd like us to build them a wedding website. So we click on the template, and you can see that we've got text, we've got images, we've got links to other pages. We can click on these things and we can change things. If we went, say, to the wedding party, then we have another page. And if we went to the We Are Married link, then we have yet another page. So we've got all kinds of pages already built for us, and we just have to go in and change out the pictures and the text to make it customized, basically, for what we want to do. Another example might be a school child that wants a personal website. And it kind of tells you here about me, add your name right here. Tell the site viewers more about yourself, what grade are you in, what school do you go to. So all kinds of prompts in terms of what you could do. You can clearly add pictures down here and different categories of things that you could add. If we were interested in building that business to sell our quilts or our wooden toys, then maybe we'd pick a business type website. This is actually for a restaurant, but clearly we could just change this, change everything and make it into, you know, Ottawa a toy factory or quilts for us or quilts for you or something, and use that template to build something that we want. And there are lots of templates if you want something, you know, more work related, things for events, things for teams. There's the restaurant one. And if there aren't enough built into the basic Google Sites, if you Google for Google Site templates, especially free ones, you'll find lots of templates available some of them free, some of them to pay for, but there's lots of information out there to pick something that will work for you. Now, as I said, we're going to build a website that showcases photographs. Well, they have one right here, which is called Photo Portfolio. So that kind of sounds ideal. So we're going to use that one and basically modify this template. So we pull the template into the editing window, and there are a number of different areas that we can work on here. This main area of the page is kind of the preview of the page that we're working on, but it also allows us to access the images, the text, the various blocks of information as we go along. On the right-hand side, right now, we're in the insert mode, so there's a whole bunch of tools here. There's a text box, there's an image box, there are various content blocks, and we can add these things into our page. You notice that there's a scroll bar here, so we can scroll down and get even more tools. And also note that in addition to the insert menu, which is where we get all these edit tools, there's also a tab for pages, and there's a tab for different themes. So it's very flexible in terms of what we can do. If we take a quick look at the Pages tab, then in the Pages tab, we can see that we've got basically three pages. We've got our home page, which they call Work. It has a sub-page, which is called Project Page. And then there's a second page at the kind of first level, if you like, which is About, which is like about me and we'll describe whoever is building this website. So we can play around with these pages, and we can also add pages and so forth. On the top of the window here is what they call the navigation bar, and here you can see that there are links to the main page, that work page, and the about page, and then there's a drop-down menu here which would open up the option to go to the project page, that sub page of the work page. Up at the top here we have some controls, so there's an undo and a redo, there's a preview, there's a publish button here, so when we're finished editing our page, we can hit the big blue button here, and that will actually launch our website onto the internet for people to actually view. And we'll take a look at how we do that later on. So now let's just think about how we're going to edit this template. We've got this template down here with text and images and links. We need to do something with those. So basically, remember this is all point and shoot. So what you see is what you get type editor. So if you click on things, if you click on a label or you click on an object like an image, generally you'll get some kind of pop-up menu, and there'll be various controls that you can change things, delete things, add things, whatever. Some of the menus have this famous kebab icon, the three vertical dots, and that's like a more type option where you'll have more things that you can do to this item that you're trying to deal with. The other thing is if you hover the mouse over a content block, you will get a menu. And in the case of a content block, it'll be things like section colors. Maybe you'd like the background to be yellow rather than transparent. And you might want to duplicate a content block, or you might want to delete it altogether. And hovering the mouse will give you the options to do those kind of things. And we talked about the controls where you can do undo and redo and preview and that kind of thing. So we've got all the controls available to us to do various things. So let's start off and look at the top of the page and look at this so-called navigation bar. And you can see, for example, that we talked about the links to the various pages, but over here you can see that name is kind of a text bar. If we select this this header, this navigation bar, then we get a settings type menu. So if we click on that for a second and have a look, then it opens up this dialog box here, and it lets us play with the navigation menu, for example. It's set so the navigation bar is at the top of the page, but there's a down arrow here, which is a drop down. We open up that drop down, then we could change the navigation from being at the top of the page to being down the side of the page. And then you've got other things like brand images and analytics and so forth. So all those things are available to you as you go along. But our interest is in changing that text that said name. I'm going to call it Alan's Bird Photos, because I don't have a website called Alan's Bird Photos, so it seems like a good name to have. But let's change the text to that, and now you can see that I've changed the header, the navigation bar. And that navigation bar will sit on top of all of our pages. So it'll always say Alan's Bird Photos, and then we'll have the options to navigate to all of the other pages in our website. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to highlight this content block over here, and you can see that it's basically the content block itself has two components. There's an image, and there's a text box, and the text box is a caption, if you like, for the image, but it also, you can see, it's a link, it's underlined, so this is a hyperlink to go to a different page. And if we clicked on that link, we'd find an interesting thing that although it says it's going to portraits, it's actually linked to the project page. Remember, the pages were work, and then the subpage of work was project page. So this link is actually pointing to the subpage, project page, not really a page called portraits, which is, in my view, a bit odd, but we're going to fix that. So here's what happens if you click on that link. You do actually end up on a different page. You can see it's retained my Alan's Bird Photos header. And here are the various links to the other pages. And there's some text, there's a heading, there's some text, and there's some images on the page. And we'll change those later on. Another interesting thing about this template is that because there's only one subpage, all of these different links are all pointing to the same place. So wherever you click on sports, you'll go to that same portraits page because that's actually the project page. So clearly we need to customize all these things for our particular purposes. So let's deal with this project page thing for a start. Let's edit the link by the little pencil here. We could delete it, but what we want to do is edit the link by hitting the pencil. And what that does is it brings us up this text box. So we get rid of portraits and we're going to type in Texas. And then we're going to link to, we'd be editing the link and we'd be pointing to a link of a page that we wanted to go to. We're actually going to keep portraits but call it Texas in a minute. So right now, our text is going to change from portraits to Texas, but for now, we're still going to be linked to this thing called project page. We'll fix that again in a minute. But for now, let's just look at this. The other thing is this text here for whatever we're doing is lateral 12 point. I actually find that a bit too small, so I'd like to change that. So I use these drop downs here. And I'm going to change it to Book Antiqua 18 point. And you can see now the text has gone to a different font and it's a bit bigger, but it's still linked to project page. Okay, so now let's go and change the image. I mean, this guy doesn't have anything to do with Texas, so let's click on him and think about how we're going to change the image. Sorry, not too many. So what I have to do now is I click on this image, and sometimes when you click on the image, you highlight the content block, the whole thing, the image and the text box. So I click again and again until I just get the image. That's all I want to change is just the image. So once the image is highlighted in blue here, I can go to, remember, I don't have the change image here. I can crop it. I can make it full screen or something. I can change the link. I can delete it. But what I want to do is go to the keep up menu here, pull up the more icon, and now I've got the replace image. And if I click on that, then I've got two options. I can either upload an image or I can select an image. And so one of those two things. If I click on select an image, what it does is it wants me to select it from my Google Drive account. Now, I don't actually have very many images that are useful. I don't have any images that are useful. And I don't have very many images in my Google Drive account. So this is not what I want to do. I don't want to select the image. What I want to do is I want to choose that second option, which was upload. Because if I upload the image, then it goes into File Explorer, essentially, and I can browse my hard drive, and I can go to this images folder where I've got some Texas JPEGs, and I can pick the one I want. I want to start off with number 6 here. So I select Texas 6 JPEG, and I tell it to open that, and it basically loads that image into, or it replaces the old guy with a picture of the Alamo. So now we know we're in Texas. Okay, so if you remember, Texas was pointing to portraits, which was pointing to project page. I'd like it to be pointing to a page called Texas. So let's think about how we're going to do that. Remember over here, we had this pages tab. So if we want to tidy up the page names, we probably have to go to pages. So let's click on pages. And here we can see that we have that work page and the project page. And if we click on the, when we open that thing, then we've got the work page here. So we can either hover the mouse over here, which will bring up a menu, or we can click on the kebab menu, and that will bring up the more type options that we have. And what it does is it pops up this menu, and what we want to do is go into the properties of this page called work. So we're going to select properties, and we're going to change out work, and I'm going to call this home, because for me, the main page of a website is the home page. It's not the work page. So my main page is going to be called home. So I've changed it to home. I'm going to say done. And I've done the same thing by clicking on project page, and I've changed the name of project page to Texas. So now we've got pages that kind of make sense to us. So now we've got the image, we've got the caption, we've changed the link, and let's think about the other blocks on this page. I'm not really interested in studio and whatever these two things are down here. I'm actually going to delete those just to create a cleaner page. So let's go into this guy. And again, if we highlight, you see this time we've highlighted him. Now we've highlighted the whole group, not just the image. We've got the image and the associated text box. So this is the content block. And we can delete that content block by just hitting this trash can, and he's gone away. And if we go down here and click on this guy, now we've highlighted a whole section, or at least we will do. And if we hover the mouse here, we get this sidebar here, and you can see that we've got this delete icon where we can delete the whole section that we're this menu is basically associated with this row of content right here. So now we've got rid of those two things. We've got rid of the two content blocks. And now we can see that we have a page footer. And the page footer, it has edit boxes. We could put in an email address, a phone number, a social media handle. We can change these things to whatever we want, or we can leave them blank and not worry about them. If you want to change them, then what you have to do is click on that footer menu, and it will highlight the whole footer, and you can choose edit. And if we choose edit, then you can select one of these boxes, select the email address, I don't want to include an email address, so I'm just going to delete that. And you can see that once I delete it, that one's gone away. I could do the same thing by getting rid of phone number. And when I get to social media handle here, I don't use Twitter, I don't use Facebook, so that makes no sense to me. But I could edit it. I could edit the text right here, and I could say, this page is updated on the 20th of January, and I could save that, and I would see that as the footer on every page of my website, which, again, doesn't make a lot of sense. But one thing, if you change the content every day, then you have to change the page updated every day, which is a lot of work. So personally, I would do this. I would just leave the footer blank. So don't bother playing around with any of those things. Just leave it there. And because there's nothing spilled in, it won't actually display. All right. So what we've got so far is we've got a content block, which has got an image and a caption and a link to a page. But right now that Texas page, if you remember, is going to that portraits page. So what we need to do is modify the content of the underlying page for this Texas link. So again, we need to go back to pages here, and we need to find Texas, and we'll open this guy up. And now you can see the template. Here's the original template. So I'm going to change the title bar here from portraits to Texas. I'm going to change the text to say something about pictures in Texas. And I'm going to change this image to some images that, you know, remember those images I had in the images folder? I'm going to include those images in this space down the bottom here. So once I do that, I add these, I change the heading, I change the basic text, the body of the text here, put my images in, then I have a Texas page with my content rather than the original content, which I've now overwritten. So all I did was I clicked on portraits and changed the text to Texas. I clicked on this paragraph, typed in this text, clicked on here, and actually what it looks like here is I actually deleted this content block and included a different content block that allows me to put images side by side, essentially, because I wanted multiple images on the page. Okay. So we've kind of sorted out Texas. It's not going to be much of a website if all we have is some pictures of Texas. So maybe what we should do is add a content block. Remember these WYSIWYG things? You don't code stuff, tables and text blocks and that kind of thing. You drag and drop. So let's just grab this content block over here, which is kind of an image and some text. And we'll just click on him, and it will drop it down below. So this is a new content block, and it's dropped it underneath Texas, which is actually not what I want. I want this guy to be over here in the right top right corner here next to Texas. So all I need to do is just drag and drop this guy up here. When I do that, I'm allowed to resize this box. And when I do that, then I've got the image, and I've got my text box underneath it, essentially. So now, here, if I click on the plus, I can add an image. If I click on the click to edit text, clearly, I can edit the text. So I can put a new image in here, I can put a new caption, and then I could create a link to that caption to a different page. So let's do that. Let's put in a picture of a mountain gorilla. Let's put in a caption which just says Uganda. But right now we don't have a Uganda page. But before we do that, let's just keep the main page rolling here. Underneath this guy, let's put in a couple more, another couple of boxes and a content block which has two images side by side with text captions underneath them. So essentially we're replicating this as two new text boxes. So by clicking on this content block here, I've put in a couple of boxes which will let me add new images and more captions and more links. So again, I've got links to different pages. Okay, now, the only problem is we've only got one real page right now, which is Texas, with the pictures of those birds and stuff. What we need is a Uganda page. Now, we've got two things we can do. We could either duplicate Texas and basically modify the content, so we could get rid of Texas, kept the heading, and we could call it Uganda. We could get rid of the photographs, and we could drop in pictures that we took in Uganda. Or alternatively, we could create a whole new page using a blank page, which we'll do because we haven't done that yet. So how would we do that? Well, again, we'd go back to pages, and we'd look at Texas, and we'd hover over here, or we'd bring up this this icon, this kebab icon, and we would, if we wanted to duplicate the page, then we'd select the Texas web page, we'd click on this guy, and we would duplicate the Texas web page. But then we'd get this thing that said this is a copy of Texas. Well, we don't want to call it a copy of Texas, we want to call it Uganda. So we change the text to say Uganda, and we say done. By the same token, if we wanted to create a whole new page rather than duplicating the Texas page, we'd still go to the more menu here. But now instead of duplicate, we'd say add a subpage. Because remember, this is a subpage of the home page. So Texas is one subpage. Now we're going to add another subpage, which is going to be Uganda underneath Texas. So again, now we just say, well, what name do you want your new subpage to be? We just want it to be called Uganda, and we say we're done. And because we're choosing a brand new page, we don't get any content. So this is a blank page, literally blank canvas. We can put whatever we want in here, but it is called Uganda. You can see in the Pages tab here, here's my home page, and then the subpages are Texas and Uganda. I've still got that about page, which I haven't done anything about. I'm actually not going to. I'm going to leave that as the original. It doesn't interest me to do that right now. I would do that later on if this is a real website. But what we want to do is build the Uganda page from scratch, just in case you want to do this. You want to build a page from square one. Right, so the first thing we probably want to do is go back to the insert menu, find all those editing tools, and basically insert a text box. So we drag the text box over here, and we can type in Uganda, and that will give us our heading. And you notice that we can change the font, chosen book Antiqua again, but I've chosen 30 point, and I've chosen bold. So this is a kind of a heading, it kind of stands out. And then I would choose a content. I do the same thing down here. I could pick up another text box and type in some text. In our trip to Uganda, we saw birds, but we also saw gorillas. And then I've dragged in a content block like this. So I've got two small pictures and one big picture. In that content block, I've put in a couple of pictures of birds, and I put in my picture of my mountain gorilla. That's basically going to be it on my page. So I've added text boxes, I've added content blocks, I've added images inside those content blocks. And it's what you see is what you get. However you want to build your page, you use the available tools and make the page the way that you want it to look. So once we've done that, we end up with this kind of scenario where we have our Texas page, which we modified the original template. We've got our Uganda page, where we built that page from scratch. And now I guess we'd like to put in a couple of extra pages, and we can do the same thing. We can either duplicate this whole section and modify things. We could build these sections from scratch, however you want to do it. What I'm going to end up with is a picture from Finland, a picture from India, and I've got my captions, and I've got my links. And if you don't know Finnish, this basically says boat ramp. Well, it's going to a lake, and there's a slipway where you can launch your boat. I don't know any fish, so I couldn't tell you that. Okay. All right. So let's suppose that we've finished everything. This is how we want. We think this is how we want things to look. But what we'd like to do now is kind of take a preview. How is this going to look on the web? And up here, we've got this preview icon, a little kind of computer screen. So if we click on that, then this is how our web page is going to look on the actual internet. So it's got our title here. I seem to have picked up a square bracket there for some reason. And I've got the menu for home and the submenu for the other pages, the about one, which we didn't change, and the various images and the various links. So that was pretty good. So I'm happy with that. So now I'd actually like to publish this web page to the internet so people can actually view it. So let's be brave. Let's go and look at this this blue control button here. And let's hit this control button, and this will publish our site to the internet. So the first thing it's asking me for, and we'll just blow this guy up, the first thing it's asking me for is the address of the website. But you notice that it's already chosen HTTPS, sites.google.com. It's chosen opcug.ca, and that's because I'm using my alan.german@opcug.ca email, my Google account, and that is a club account, so it's adding on the opcug.ca domain name. I don't have any control over that piece of the website. So if you build a website, you are going to get the website as sites.google.com. I doubt you'll get this. You'll get something else with your particular Google account. I suspect you're just going to get the actual name of the website. I haven't actually checked that. But basically, I can choose anything I want here, anything that doesn't already exist. So I've chosen Alan's Bird Photos. So that's what the website, this is going to be the URL for the website on the internet. And I've chosen that by choosing this name for my web address. The other thing that I've got by default is who can look at the site. And because I'm using this OPCUG account, it's by default, it's decided anybody who's a member of the users group, I think anybody who is a member of the users forum and has access to the users forum can view the site. But you notice there's a link here to manage. I can change that. This system is actually very flexible as we go along. So let's change that and manage. So you'll notice that if I have a draft of my website, it's restricted. And only people with access, i.e. me right now, there's only me can access. See, people with access is me. Oops, sorry. People with access is me. So anybody who, if I have drafts of web pages, anybody who's in the restricted category, which is me, only me can see the drafts. But once it's been published, once I've hit that big blue button, then the people that can see it are people in the PC user group. But I can use the drop-down menu here, and I can change that. And I can change restricted. Right now it's set for the user group. But you notice I can also set it to public. I set it to public, then anybody in the world can find this link and can view this page. I'm happy with that. I don't mind anybody looking at my pictures. I'm not going to, actively go out and say people should look at my pictures of Uganda, but if they find the link and they want to look at the pictures of Uganda, fine. I don't have any. Once I post any information to the web, I consider it gone. It's basically public information. I usually don't try to protect things. Every now and then, again, I do, but I normally don't. I'm quite happy to have things public. However, if you have something which is more restrictive, you don't want to share it with the world, and you don't want to share it with the users group, then you could choose a restricted category. And when you do that, then you have this option to share with different people and groups. So you can start adding people from your contact list. So for example, maybe I only want to share these photos with Chris and Bridget and basically nobody else. So if I hit, if I leave it as restricted and just do share with these people, and you notice here I could click this box and have the option to notify people. So I could send a message to Chris and Bridget and say, hey, my photos of Texas and Uganda are now available at this link. So you've got those options. You can restrict it to certain people, or you can make it completely public. And here we are. This is actually the browser. We're looking directly at that URL, sites.google.com, opcud.ca, and Alan's bird photos. So we are now live on the web. This is the final web page live on the internet. I just warn you that if you go to this link, which is live, the about page has got nothing to do with me. It's still the page that came with the template, and it's some lady photographer, nothing to do with me. And these two links down here to Finland and India are actually just a copy of Texas and Uganda. So you won't be able to see any pictures from Finland and India, I'm afraid. But you can see a few pictures from Texas and a few pictures from Uganda. And sure enough, if we click on this link for Texas, then here's that. Here's the pictures from Texas. We've got a snowy egret here, and this is a golden-fronted woodpecker, has a yellow forehead, at a grapefruit feeder. And down there is a specialty, that's an olive-sided, olive-sided sparrow, I think, is it? Olive sparrow. So some interesting birds in Texas. The other thing about Google Sites is there's lots of features. I've only scratched the surface here. I've just kind of shown you how to change images, how to change text, how to add pages, how to use contact, how to use context blocks, and that kind of thing. But there's a whole raft of others. Remember, we could scroll down in the tools, and if you scroll down the tools, you get lots of different things. And you could put in an image carousel, for example. So rather than just have one image on the page, you can have it so that the user can scroll left and right and see a range of images in the so-called carousel. If you do use Twitter and Facebook, you have the option to put in social media links. If you have a YouTube channel, you can add YouTube videos, Google Maps, and charts, all kinds of different things that are available to you in this toolbar, if you like. You remember also there's this themes menu here. If we click on themes, then I think I'm using this Aristotle theme, which is basically a white background and fairly plain lettering with these kind of default colors for things. But you could choose different options over here. And again, there are probably other themes available on the internet. Okay, so we're rapidly coming to a close here. Got through this stuff a bit quicker than I had expected. So what are the pros and cons of using Google Sites? Well, one of the main things that I like about it is it's really, it's readily available for anyone who has a Google account. If you have Gmail, you have a Google account. So it's accessible to almost anybody. It's accessible to anybody because anybody could create a Google account. If you already have a Google account, then it's very easy to get into Google Sites. And I think I've shown you it's really easy to modify one of these templates and basically build your own custom website. One of the neat things is that because it's on Google, because it's Google Sites, this is essentially a free web hosting service. So if you had built a website using HTML and you had web pages and you had graphics and things like that, you would have to upload those to a web server. And you would have to pay somebody, if you don't have your own web server, which most people don't, you would have to pay somebody for that web hosting service. Now, they're not terribly expensive. I think there's a company called Tuny Hosting, which will give you hosting services. I think you get 20 gigabytes for $2 a month, so $25 a year kind of thing. We'll buy you a hosting service. But if you use Google Sites, then depending on how much storage you have, remember this is all based on your Google account. So if you've got lots of Google Photos and lots of Google emails with attachments, all those are taking up space in your account. And so you may be limited in terms of how many web pages you can have. But if you're like me and you don't lean and mean in your Google account, then you've got lots of space for a website. I hope I've shown you it's really easy to use. There's a bit of a learning curve. You have to kind of click on things and figure out what they all do, but it's not terribly difficult. And it can be really short because most of us won't need to know many of the features. It's one of these things where there's lots and lots of features, but you're probably only going to use a handful of the ones that are available to do what you want. The real beauty is that you don't need to know any coding. So you don't need to know HTML. It really is point and shoot, and what you see is what you get. A couple of limitations, though. For me, it's a bit restrictive in terms of you can play around with these context blocks and put them in different places on the page, but you're a bit limited in terms of how they're arranged. I think you can put spaces in and move things around that way. But for me, it's not as easy to change things as it would be if you were coding things directly in HTML. You have a lot more control when you know HTML, and you can use all the available codes. So it's a bit restrictive in terms of how you place things, but if it places things where you like them, then it's really easy and it works very well. And then the final thing is that thing about the website address, and you have no control over it using sites.google.com. So if that bothers you, then you really need to buy a hosting service or do something else to get your own domain name and serve it up that way. But if you live with sites.google.com/something, then that probably works very well. And remember, it's free, so it's actually a really good deal. Okay, so my final slide, and we'll go to questions next, but if anybody thinks about this thing later on, next week, in the next few days, you have questions, you can always get hold of me on my email address, really easy, alan.german@opcu.ca. So send me an email, I'll be happy to try and answer your questions. And the actual content of the deck tonight, the PowerPoint presentation which I've just given, will be posted on the website. It'll be in the past presentations folder. And Bridget will be posting that in the next hours and days once I make it available to her. And if you want to look at that example, and remember it's just an example, it's not a real photo website, and it is incomplete. I put a few pictures and a little bit of text on a couple of pages, and that's all. But if you want to see the kind of final product, then there's the link to go to that. And with that, I'm essentially at the end of the presentation, and I see there's a few questions or something in the chat, so What do we have, Bob?
Awesome, Alan. Thank you very much. That was great. I was going to ask about the cost, but you certainly nailed that one already. And there was two comments here. One was from Harvey. He was commenting on about maybe the possibility of downloading it to the PC, maybe to work on or do it there. Oh, unmute
yeah, okay.
Now?
Yes. Yeah, so what you need to do there is get the HTML code that's underlying the web page. Now, can you do that in Google Sites? I'm not sure. Certainly what you could do is you can post it to the web, and once you've got it on the web, you can use the developer tools in your browser and find the code that way. I'd have to check on that one, Bob. That's an interesting question. I don't know.
By the way,
I wonder if you can access the HTML code from the Google Sites itself.
By the way, everybody is free now to unmute. And there was also a request for pronunciation on the boat ramp name in Finnish from Stuart.
Yeah, it said boat ramp.
He wanted
That's
to finish.
That's the Finnish pronunciation, Stuart, boat ramp.
And Dennis asked about the space limitations, how much space he can. Comments from Dennis about that, but the space available on Google.
I think in a Google account, you get 16 gigabytes, is it?
Great.
I don't know. I don't really use Google Drive that much, but somebody must know. Come on, somebody, tell me how much space do you get on a Google account?
It's 15 gigabytes.
15 gigabytes. Okay, thank you. So that 15 gigabytes has to accommodate everything that you do on Google. So if you use Google Drive to store photographs and documents and spreadsheets or whatever, then all of the space that's been taken by the photographs and everything else is counting against that 15 gigabytes. And all of your emails, if you're using Gmail and you've got the text messages, but you've also got maybe attached files, which can be quite big if people are sending you photographs and videos. And all that space is counting against your 15 gigabytes. And then if you're going to put on websites and pages and more images, all that goes against your 15 gigabytes. So as long as you don't go over the 15 gigabytes, you can have as much web space as you have available.
And I think Tom
15
had mentioned,
gigabytes is a lot of space. Personally, I've never run into the upper limit, but I'm sure other people have.
I think Tom had mentioned before a workaround for that. You can have more than one Google account.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So if your space is limited, you could probably start a fresh Google account with the full 15s available. And
right.
You mentioned that if the name wasn't favorable, you could probably use tiny URL for a workaround and tell Fred, click on this link.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Tiny URL.
Yeah. Yeah, if people don't know, tiny URL is a website that lets you put in a long URL. Probably not. I mean, you could put in this guy down here, this guy right here, HTTPS thing, and it will give you a much shorter link, which will be something like tinyurl/ and then some kind of string of digits, alphanumeric string, 10 or 12 digits or something, and you just send people that shorter link, and then the tinyurl website redirects them to the full URL here. It's actually quite handy, especially if it's a really long URL, like some of the Microsoft support websites, they go on for like three lines. And it's really awkward to put those into an email link to somebody, an email message to somebody. So I quite often will use a short version of that.
Yes. There was also a comment from Harvey about asking about the name of the editor you were using.
Oh, yeah, that's a really old one, Harvey. It's called HomeSite. It was originally developed by a company called Allaire, and they got bought out by the people who made Dreamweaver. And I think it's still available as a module within the Dreamweaver package. But I've got this thing as a standalone version, and it runs fine actually on Windows 10.
Oh, it's very good.
If you want an HTML editor, there are other more modern ones. One that comes to mind is called Composer, with a K and a Z.
Yes, I use that one.
Very similar. It gives you the nice thing about these HTML editors is you get a tree directory so you can navigate through your files. You get a window where you can see the actual code, and you can edit that code directly inside the window, just like you can with Microsoft Word and when you're editing a document. And quite often they will have a design view, which gives you this WYSIWYG type feature where you're editing the page just as it looks on the actual browser. And personally, I don't like that. I always turn that off and just use the raw HTML. But the really good thing about the HTML editors is not only can you edit the text like you can with Notepad, for example, an HTML file is basically just text, so you could edit it with Notepad, but the dedicated editor gives you a whole bunch of tools. So you can highlight text, click on V, and it will put in the bold text for you. And you can click on the text and click on a link, and it will let you browse to a link or browse to an image. You can ask it to put in an image, and it will let you browse to a folder and a JPEG image, and it will write that into the HTML tag for you. So you don't have to do all the coding. It kind of automates the process somewhat.
There's also an interesting note here from Glenn about if he goes to a website that's very hard to print, he's wondering what the feasibility of loading it into Google Sites and then change the background color. I may have not received that correctly, but asking about difficulty in printing an existing web page that can't be printed due to the color of the background.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you're saying it's a business web page, you want to print it.
Yeah.
But it's a gray font on a gray background. Yeah, so you got some kind of low contrast and some low contrast thing. Can you save a copy of the website, put it in Google Sites, and change the color? Probably not. I think what you'd have to do, Glenn, is, again, you'd have to go to the browser, go to the developer option, find the code, the HTML code, and basically save that to a file and then load that file into your browser locally. And you could certainly edit the file, edit the code locally, and then load the file into the browser and then print it from the browser. I think that's what you'd have to do.
I think so. I do something similar quite often, now and then. I like to save lots of data. I've been known to print an entire website using Do PDF, and it's like a printer, another printer, but it doesn't print anywhere. Instead of printing to a printer, it prints to a gizmo that makes a PDF file, and then you assign where you're going to put that new PDF file, and you have some control over the print attributes. You can do it in color and black and white and margins. I don't know. So it's a free program, Do PDF.
Mm. Yeah, the problem there, Bob, might be if it's this low contrast,
yes,
text on a background, it may not display very well.
Yep.
But I think there's always a workaround for this stuff. You just have to figure out how to do it.
Excellent. And they used to have. Yeah, interesting. Go ahead, Stu.
I'm going to stir them in your a little bit here. Is there an advantage to using the Google Sites as opposed to setting up a Facebook page? Because I see so many small businesses and nonprofits and what have you, they don't bother with websites anymore. They just have a Facebook page and do everything from that. I don't have a Facebook account. I have no idea how to do anything with it. And I know nothing about web pages and Google Sites. So I'm just throwing it out there. Are web pages actually starting to become redundant or going away, given
how... Yeah, I think that's true, Stuart. I actually had a carpenter in the other day, and I was asking if he had a website. He didn't have a website, but he had a Facebook page.
Exactly.
Well, that doesn't help me because I don't use Facebook.
And me either.
I go to Facebook, I can never find anything. So how people think they're going to run their business off a Facebook account, I don't know. But maybe then, you know, the new kids on the block, they know how to drive Facebook and they can find everything.
That's what my wife's for. I ask her.
See, again, I don't know. I mean, I don't use Facebook. So the question for me is, how flexible is it? How can you customize your Facebook page to look the way that you want it to? Or are you stuck with the way that Zuckerberg wants it to look? That I don't know.
Any Facebook users out there in the group?
Anybody have a Facebook page?
You can create a business page in Facebook. It's quite straightforward, but it's like everything else. You have to learn how to use Facebook effectively.
Yeah, I use also Facebook for my badminton club. And it's not difficult to do. And if you want to find it, if you know the name, you just search for the name and you will get to that page without too much trouble. The nice thing about it is you can set up messages and things like that can be helpful. And if you want to, I think if you pay some money also, you can get some features that you don't get if it's free, but as a starting point, it can be, I think, as an add-on to a web page, it's an interesting option, I find.
I'll post my business Facebook link. You can have a look at it. That's only if you have an account, but I don't know if I can share my screen if I'm set up to do that. But
we can do that for you.
All right, go ahead and do that, and I'll see what I can do here.
Okay, you can now share your screen, Harvey.
All right, let me go back in. One sec. All right, so you can see that page?
Yeah, okay, sure.
All right, one sec here. So, for example, this is the identification of the page on Facebook. This is the actual page. And, I mean, I have several followers and whatnot, but what I typically do is I post different articles to people that are interested in things like this. So you can, you know, you can put on your business type information. This is a digital signature here that I use for people that are contacting me. I just send that link to their particular phone. They can click on here to look at all the Google reviews, for example, that type of thing. But primarily, as I say, I post articles that may help or be of interest to people who are following, you know?
Do you have control over how that looks in terms of, it's like two-column format there?
Actually, no. This is a standard page format that Facebook uses. Does anybody else here use Facebook? No? Anyway, just to let you know, That's how it looks. Over here, you can put photos, for example. I post messages from my clients who are, you know, they give you compliments and whatnot, and so that other clients can see that type of thing, you know. So you have quite a variety of things that you can show your followers. Yeah.
Yeah. Are there any space limitations?
Not that I'm aware of, no. No, it's, I often wonder myself, like people use Facebook or Instagram and they're constantly uploading these large image files. So I don't ever see it or have heard that there's a limitation, but I think Facebook must have huge storage facilities for that type of thing. Yeah. Anyway, that's I'll go back to unsharing, but that's how the business page would look on Facebook. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, thanks. And Gail has a note that we she says there's not much flexibility, and take a look at the club's Facebook page. We actually have a Facebook page. If you go to the club's website, you'll find there's a link, one of these little social media things, app or something, which gets you to Facebook.
Yeah, you do. No.
And Justin was noting that he was using a website editor, but some of the keys stopped working. So he switched to Notepad++, which is it's actually a multi-tab version of Notepad. And he says it's not bad, especially if you use some add-ons. So, as I said, web pages or HTML is basically just text. So you can edit it in a simple text editor. Elizabeth says she uses Facebook, but not with a business account. Finds the message system irritating. Maybe it's just her.
Also very sneaky.
Yeah.
Very sneaky too. Well, that's what I've heard about Facebook. It's not very nice in terms of privacy. They keep changing the rules every 5 minutes and hard to keep up with them. Listen, I just find it too confusing. I can never find anything, as I say, so I tend to stay away from it. Okay, well, I think we've exhausted all the questions there. So I hope everybody found that somewhat useful, and you're all going to rush out and build yourself a brand new website, and you're going to send us a link. You'll follow up next week, and we'll take a look at it. And are we going to rate them, Bob, and give prizes or something? I don't know.
Yes.
Anyway, but next week will be the 18th, and that will be a regular Q&A session. So as usual, if you have any questions, if you have things that you would like to share, especially if you have computer basic questions or smartphone basic questions, anything along those lines, whatever you want to do, send us some information to the suggestion box address. And we'll see everybody next week. So thanks very much, everybody, and good night to you all.
Thank you, Alan. Great show. I enjoyed that. Very good. Awesome.